My name is Yiming Xu, Dr. Z. With me today is Luke Chang, founder of FMS, a Microsoft Gold certified partner. Today we are going to talk about the solutions based on Access Database and SQL Server. But before we get started, Luke, can you tell us what you do, what your business is?
Okay. Well, I'm the president of FMS. We are a software development firm located in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. We've been in business since 1986, and we've created a wide variety of applications, essentially to help people make better decisions with data. As part of that, we've adopted Microsoft technology in developing solutions using Microsoft Access, SQL Server, .NET, and in the past, VB6.
What's the current situation of Access-based solutions?
Well, Access has been around since 1992 and has evolved over the years with each new version of Office once it got incorporated as part of Office. Today, Access is the database portion of Office and is essentially the largest database in terms of number of units in the world on any platform. On Windows, it's very dominant. There are lots of people who are using it, and it basically fits that segment between Excel, which end users can create very easily, and a database application that requires professional IT shop type solutions. So that middle ground that allows people to create personal databases and work group databases is where Access fits. And what often happens is people create those solutions, and over time they become more and more significant and more important to the point where they might become mission critical. But the sweet spot for Access is a relational database that can be managed on a desktop in Windows for individuals and small work groups and departments. You know, we ourselves, we have over 50,000 customers in over 100 countries, and it's just amazing what people are creating in Access. From small databases to manage lists to managing sales teams to managing operations and logistics, I think it runs the entire gamut of what people can do with data and databases. I think typically what we see are that Access fits in the segment just above Excel when we start out with simple databases, and you know it probably is tied more to budgets. Access applications in general start out in a price range in the tens of thousands to mid tens of thousands of dollars per solution. And in that kind of environment, you can create a platform that works in a multi-user group, a team. Maybe some people on disconnected environments, they put applications on their laptops and run. And that's the kind of solution that we see. In contrast to that, you know, lots of organizations where more centralized IT operations are involved, their solutions tend to be much more expensive, you know, probably in the 100,000 plus arena. And that you typically see in a .NET or Java or SQL Server, Oracle, whatever platform. The idea here is that if you need to create a solution that costs less or that the problem that needs to be solved isn't worth that kind of investment, the Access platform is a great alternative and choice for those solutions.
What are some of the challenges that users and developers have faced as they use or create Access-based database solutions?
Yeah, well, there are lots of challenges people face. Some of them are technology-based, some are just changes in the way a business evolves over time. A database, unlike a spreadsheet, requires more upfront thought in structuring tables and making sure the data that needs to be collected is collected and is organized in a structured way that makes sense for whatever the output may be. So one of the first challenges that people face when they're creating a database is making sure that they have those data table structures defined properly. Over time, people create queries, forms, reports, code that goes and supports that, and that all works very well. And just like an Excel spreadsheet works fine when you first create it, over time, as you need to add more things to it, more columns, more rows, same things happen to Access databases, and the challenge becomes how do you add new features without breaking old features, and how do you anticipate the growth as people want to use the application more, people want to use it, maybe it gets distributed to other places, maybe people want changes and other people don't. Some of those non-technical issues come into play, and over time, it's very easy to create a database that doesn't fit together all that well because bits and pieces of it were created independently. So we see that a lot. It's just the natural progression of an organization and an application where people just want to get something done immediately and don't make the investment on fixing things at the core level because they think it takes too much time.
Do you still see Access as a standalone product or technology, or you've seen some, you know, changes, some integration with Access?
Oh, we've definitely seen a change in Access applications over the years. Sure, people can still create their Access databases, just like people can create their Excel spreadsheets and email them to people all around the world. So there's one model where that works, and Access is very nice because it has not only the database within it with the data, but also the queries, the forms, the reports, the code. It can all be packaged in one file and sent out. So there's some benefits and situations where that is very helpful. But we've definitely seen over time more hybrid situations, solutions that involve multiple technologies. So an example of that would be, for instance, a web application that uses SQL Server as its back-end database. It'll have a .NET, ASP.NET, front end for people on the public web, but for people who are managing the database, maybe for administrative tools or for ad hoc reporting, people can use Access connected to the SQL Server database to generate those things on their own. Similarly, with the advent of SharePoint and the prevalence of SharePoint in many organizations, we see people creating SharePoint lists that are then managed using Access, especially with Access 2007, being able to get to those lists, maybe create some queries or reports that aren't features within SharePoint.
You're looking at migration. What are the common reasons for some businesses, you know, to consider that?
Right. Well, Access has its place, just like Excel has its place. So for the things that Access does well, it's perfect. But what happens as applications evolve over time is that a certain portion of Access databases need to evolve to a more sophisticated platform. Access is a file-based database system, so the file is located either on somebody's desktop or on the network, and that has its pluses and minuses. As the database gets larger, as it takes in more data, issues such as scalability, reliability, data integrity, these are things that become much more important, much more valuable as the value of the data increases, that a more sophisticated platform like SQL Server becomes justifiable. So it's almost a graduation step. You know, for a vast majority of Access databases, just like a vast majority of Excel spreadsheets, will live and die in its original platform and no one will ever care. But a certain portion of Excel spreadsheets need to become a database. And a certain portion of Access databases over time need to graduate to the next level, such as SQL Server. And in those instances, it makes sense to look at the benefits that SQL Server can offer to justify that transition. So some examples may be a business change. For instance, now you know we have an Access database that works very well on our local area network, and everybody within our organization or team can use it. But now we want to expose it to the web. Well, Access is not a web solution. You wouldn't use Access forms or reports as an interface in an HTML, ASP kind of environment. You need to use something like .NET to give that user interface to people outside your organization. When you adopt that kind of strategy, especially if you want to scale up with lots of people, you want to have something like SQL Server as the backend database to support that. Or you may have a situation where you have a database that now contains very sensitive information. And whether it's because of HIPAA regulations for health information or patient information, or Sarbanes-Oxley for financial information, the data now becomes much more critical, or privacy may be an issue, and a file-based system no longer cuts it. So having a SQL Server database where the data is secured, centrally managed, centrally stored, you can track changes to it, who sees what records, all of that could become very valuable and important in the application, which is very different from when the application was originally created by one person that really didn't have a need or consideration of those features. So I think a lot of it is just the evolution of the database. And as it becomes more and more useful, then it justifies the additional investment of something more sophisticated.
what are the typical ways of moving Access databases to, for example, SQL Server databases?
Well, there are a lot of different ways of making that migration. I guess the first thing comes down to why we're making the migration. If the decision is that the database needs to migrate because we're creating a website, that's very different from a situation where we might say, okay, we just have to move the data because the data has to be more secure, or that we're adding a lot more data. If the Access platform is still okay, the Windows platform is still okay, it's pretty straightforward to be able to keep the Access application and just move the data portion up to SQL Server. And Access has within it the upsizing wizard, or the SQL Server has a migration assistant to take the data and some of the queries up to SQL Server while leaving the front-end application in Access. So that means all the forms and reports don't need to be rewritten, and then can still get to the data that now resides on a more robust, scalable platform. There are other situations where an Access application needs to evolve, and the reasons have nothing to do with Access itself. We need to go to a website, we need to create ASP pages, we need to create, or maybe the whole application just needs to be rewritten. You know, the original design worked fine for a few years, but now, you know, the business has changed, the operations have changed, economy has changed, new business or government regulations have come into play. So the application just needs to be rewritten. And oftentimes we see this migration period as the opportunity to make those structural foundation changes to allow the application to grow and be on the right foundation for the next decade. And as part of that, we would maybe rewrite the entire application or the SQL Server piece of it, the database layer, into the new platform, and then the user interfaces on top of that.
What are some of the common issues that people have experienced during migration?
Well, changing platforms is always challenging. It's one thing to get the data from the Access MDB database up to SQL Server, and with few exceptions, that works pretty well. Some of the areas which do come into play are naming conventions. Access allows people to create names of objects, tables, fields, with all sorts of characters that SQL Server isn't particularly fond of, you know, or maybe conflicting with reserved words and things like that. So there is a little bit of that. But assuming that the data gets transferred over, the field names and table names all work fine, the next challenge is the layer of queries. And in SQL Server, we want the queries to run on the server as much as possible so that it only passes the records that satisfy the criteria to the user. So a lot of the select queries get transferred over, and that works fine, except for certain situations where people within Access have used Access to add features or functions in their queries that aren't supported by SQL Server. So for instance, the use of certain VBA commands within queries doesn't translate automatically. And the use of user-defined functions won't transfer either, because the function is defined on the front end, the Access side, not on the SQL Server side. So in those situations, those queries then need to be rewritten through stored procedures or user-defined functions on SQL Server to take care of those. And then the action queries, update, deletes, insert queries, have to be rewritten as stored procedures on SQL Server.
What about the user interface and the reports?
Yes, well, the forms and reports are another issue that need to be addressed in a transition. So if we keep the Access front end, especially if we're dealing with large amounts of data, Access developers, users traditionally just open up a table and retrieve all the records. Well, that's just not a good way of approaching data in SQL Server, right? So we only want to get a subset of records at one time and then refresh and add more based on whether the user wants it, because we don't want a million records to come across the network as soon as we open up a table or a form tied to a table. So in terms of data entry and editing, some of the user interface forms need to be redesigned really for performance reasons, so that we only manage one record at a time and then also take into account multi-user editing conflicts that may occur, which are handled in SQL Server and then error messages posted forward. Separately, on the report side, again, we want to make sure that we create reports that don't try to retrieve all of the records if we only want a subset of the records. So it's really thinking more about scalability and getting only the data that we need as opposed to all the data, which is a traditional desktop or Windows database kind of approach to things, because the presumption is that there isn't that much data or that's already sitting on my hard disk.
Are there any wrong reasons for people to migrate Access databases?
Well, one of the disappointments that we see among certain people who try to migrate their Access applications up to SQL Server is that they think they're going to get a huge performance gain when they migrate. And SQL Server is great, and it runs fast, and it runs generates data very quickly on large databases. But if the Access database isn't that big, SQL Server isn't going to necessarily get the records any faster than what your desktop database like Access can do. So one of the things that we caution our customers about is making sure that the application that they do have will take advantage of the scale that SQL Server offers. So, you know, if the Access database is only 10 megabytes, which fits in RAM, the whole database fits in RAM, you're not going to get a great deal of performance increase when you migrate that to SQL Server. Matter of fact, you may get a decrease because SQL Server does a lot more work, and you want it to do work, transaction logging, of keeping track of things, automatically fixing things. So it's doing more work, and therefore it may slow things down. Now, if you have a million records, you're going to see a very nice performance increase. So it's just important to understand what makes sense on a desktop database and what makes sense in a SQL Server environment, and make sure those things are what you can gain by making the transition.
Now, if I have just one database, I probably can do that myself, or I have a developer who can do that. But if I have 1,000 Access databases, applications, or even more, how would you go about it?
All right. So we've engaged with customers that had a very similar, you know, type of challenge as you're mentioning there. And one of the first steps that we go through is an assessment to understand which of those thousands or 10,000 databases, Access MDB files, need to be migrated. So that's the first piece, just kind of an inventory and assessment of what's there and, you know, what's in them and what's important that might need to be preserved moving forward. Typically, we found a huge percentage, over 90% of the databases being perfectly fine in their existing format. Either they're not being used, they're being used by a couple of people, or they just don't contain data or large amounts of data that justify adding any extra technology to it. Just leave it alone. It'll live and die in its own platform. Nobody ever needs to add an extra investment. For the handful of applications that do require additional investment, whether it's for business reasons or regulatory reasons or just a vision of the future of where they want to take those applications, these justify the additional investment. And then we help organizations go through and determine what the next level will be. Is it just migrating the data? We're going to keep the Access front end. Is it going to be taking the application to a completely different platform? Whether it's .NET and SQL Server, we're going to throw away the existing Access application. That's one possibility. You can just consider the existing Access application as the prototype or the initial view of how this solution should be created, and then just take it completely to another level starting from scratch. Obviously, when you replace something completely, that can be much more expensive than tweaking an existing application to add the extra functionality or security or performance issues that that might need. So it just depends on where they want to go. And what we try to do is offer different options for a customer to consider in each situation. We don't believe that there's one solution for every situation or every single database. It just depends what the business needs or organization's needs are for that application or where they envision that application will evolve over the next few months or years.
What do you see is the future of Access application?
Well, what we're seeing is a lot of investment by Microsoft to enhance Access significantly, especially when we see the changes that went from Access 2003 to 2007 and then what they've announced for the next version of Access 14. So I think there's a very heavy investment from the Microsoft team to make sure Access is on the leading edge of what people need to create for both Windows and the web. In terms of what we see people using it for, the need for a platform where individuals can create their own database solutions without having to go through extra layers of complexity through an IT department, let's say, exists and will exist forever. And this is the sweet spot that Access fits. And with the increase in power of PCs over time growing exponentially in both performance and RAM and hard disk speed, more and more database problems, which is really independent of technology, will fit on desktops over time. And more of these problems will be solvable by end users and power users on their own over time. Those are trends that I don't think will be reversed. At the same time, I also believe that means that more and more solutions will be created on desktops that will drive IT departments crazy because they were never involved in those to begin with. And we as individuals and as an organization just need to be prepared for the benefits of information worker empowerment and the drawbacks of information worker empowerment and not be surprised when it happens.
Luke, this has really been a very interesting conversation on Access database application development and migration to SQL Server. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Z, for having me.